Yeah. So how y'all doing? Good, good, good. It's been a great, great morning already. We're excited about part two of our series in the book of Ephesians. So thanks for being here. I've brought a couple things with me to help out, kind of walk us through the message this morning. So hopefully they'll make sense as we kind of connect the dots today. All right. So the first one I want to show you is this. All right. I'll explain a little bit later. Now, I'm not a doctor, not a nurse. I have no idea how to use this thing. This is an AED device. Anybody ever seen one of these before? Anybody ever have one used on them before? Okay, now I have got a couple of you. I've got such an appreciation for our medical community, man, doctors and nurses, and how, the miracles you can do with your hands and the way that you use devices like this. Now, I'm going to set this up here, all right? I don't know how to use it, but hopefully I won't have to this morning, all right? You can do that. I also brought with me something else. Now, just like I'm not a doctor, I'm also not an artist, okay? But my father-in-law, Ernest, he is an artist. These are just a couple of the dozens of paintings that he has created. In fact, this one he did, I think, probably on his last visit with us here. Now, I couldn't dream of being able to do something like this. I am just not an artist at all. I don't write songs or play instruments or some of you all, and I admire those of you who are artists and can create masterpieces like this. I consider these masterpieces, and not just because I know the artist, because I think they're beautiful, but masterpieces. So pretty cool, huh? I don't know if any of y'all are like that, but I'll explain in a little bit. You know, you'll be able to put the dots together. Now, I also brought along something that I can identify with. This is my driver's license. All right, now all of us do you carry your ID with you? How many of y'all carry your ID with me? Now I carry my identification with me for a couple reasons. The first reason is because I obviously, if something happens to me, I want to be able to for them to say, yep, that's the guy who's laying there. That's one reason. The other reason is because sometimes I forget who I am. I mean, at my age, I've got to kind of, oh, yep, that's me, you know, kind of thing. Now, I have lost, or not lost, I've actually had my identity stolen a couple times, and that is no fun. I don't know if you've been through that before, but it is just, it's not good to have your identity stolen. Don't ever want to have that happen to you, and you certainly don't want to forget who you are. So I'll come back to a couple of these things in just a minute. But what I love about this part of the Bible that we're in, why it's so special to me, is because, you know, it kind of relates to us right where we are. See, sometimes I do really forget who I am, who I really am, my true identity. And it shows me that no matter who I think I am, or maybe no matter what I'm going through in my life, or the kind of mess that I'm in, and I know we come from all kinds of different places in here this morning, no matter where you are or where you've come from today, God loves us. He loves me. He loves you. He meets us right where we are and tells us who we are. And that's what I think Ephesians is all about. It's about us rediscovering our identity in Christ. Our teaching series, again, from the book of Ephesians, if you know where that is, go ahead and turn in your Bibles there. We'll wait for you just a second. Go ahead. In fact, if you have your sermon, your bulletin notes, you can go ahead and open your bulletins and find your notes in there. The entire passage that we'll be studying from this morning is in your sermon notes. You can open those up or maybe have a friend next to you kind of help you find Ephesians. It's near the back of your Bible. And while you're doing that, you might remember from last week that Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written while he was in jail. It was written to the Christ followers in the city of Ephesus. And these first two or three chapters is God just setting the table for the content of the whole entire rest of the book and what Ephesians has to say to us. Now, we went through Ephesians 1 last week where Paul is reminding us, if you remember, of who Christ is and what he's done and who we are in him. Remember? Who Christ is, what he's done, and who we are in him. And God teaches us through the book of Ephesians, especially chapter 1, that we really can rediscover who we are in Christ. Life in Christ. Well, today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So if you have it there, I really think this is going to help us out a lot as we read these words of Paul and we find out not only who we are in Christ, but to really kind of discover our true identity in him. And in order to do that, I think what Paul does here is he helps us by going back a little bit. You know, we have to remember who we are, remember where we came from and who we were before we can move on. So hear this. All of us here today were brought from something to something by someone for something. And I'm going to say that again. We were all brought from something to something by someone for something. And it all starts, if we just kind of go back just a little bit in our lives, maybe you can relate to this, to remember where God has brought us from. And this is Paul's story, and this is my story, and this is many of your story here today as well. Where has God brought us from? The answer we see in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He's brought us from death. From death. Look at what he says here. As for you, you were dead. Dead in your transgressions and your sins. Meaning, we were living outside of the boundaries of God. Compared to God in his perfection, we are imperfect. We are sinners. We fall short. And because of that, we're dead. We're dead in our transgressions and sins. And here's what he says, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. God's wrath. So we let those words sink in just a little bit. I think it's important because, you know, sometimes we have to know where we've come from or where we have been or where we are in order to know who we are. And God is reminding us that at one time, we were all spiritually dead because we were not in Christ. Talked about this last week. Life is found in Christ, and outside of Christ is death. As we're living a life outside of Christ, Paul equates that with spiritual death. And some of us here today are not in Christ, meaning you have not surrendered your life to Jesus and you are not following him as Lord of your life. Now, if this is you, we're glad you're here. There's no better place you could be, especially on a Sunday morning, than right here with us. And we're so glad that you're here this morning. But here's the thing. You can't sit here comfortable today like everything's okay because you're in church. Or everything's okay because you're a good person. You say, I'm a good person. You know, that's all relative. The problem isn't that you're a good person or a bad person. The problem is that you are a dead person. And if that word makes you uncomfortable, I get it, because I've been there. And many of us have been there. But God loves you, and he loved me way too much to not give us the truth. And you just can't leave this service today feeling comfortable if you are not in Christ. And we should be uncomfortable if we're living a life of disobedience towards God. Spiritually dead. And this verse reminds us that once upon a time, we were all outside of Christ, and that is not okay with him. Not okay at all. So along with this good news, God gives us some bad news. This is bad news. Here's the bad news, all right? Here, I know I'm just kind of laying it on here, but look at the screen. This is, you might have seen this before. This is a heart monitor. This is where you were, or maybe where you are. You are here, dead, flatlined. No heartbeat. Another way of thinking about it is that you were in a dead end, going nowhere. That we were living a life of a spiritual death sentence on death row, guilty of offending God. Our sin convicted us, guilty. And our position with God deserved punishment. And as a result, we're condemned to die. Yes. We were here, dead. And maybe today you're still there. But here's the good news, the great news, the best news of all. God, who's not okay with this, steps in. God does something about it. Look at verse 4. The great news, because of God, yes, by God, check this out, Ephesians 2:4, but God, because of his great love for us, God, circle that, highlight that, God, circle it. He is the reason. He is rich in mercy. Now we gotta, man, just absorb that statement for a second. God, don't miss this. God did something. Who stepped in? Who steps in? Help me out. God steps in. And who are we? Who are we? Look at those words again. We are loved by God. You are loved by God. And because God loves us, he shows us mercy. And he does something about our deadness that only God could do. Ephesians 2:5. What did God do? He saves us to life. You are made alive. Look at verse 5. God made us alive, alive with Christ. God made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Now that word saved there means rescued from death, rescued from danger. And God raised us up with Christ and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This is great, great news. See, Paul's using spiritual language here. He's contrasting this lower world, the world of the flesh that he's just described in the first few verses. He's contrasting that with the spiritual life in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. Our place with Jesus is here, not here. And in verse 7, why does this happen? In order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. In the coming ages, here we are, 2,000 years later, we are the coming ages. Look around. He might show his incomparable riches. Look around there. You are the incomparable riches of his grace. Isn't that amazing? He has expressed his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, you have been saved. You've been rescued. And as a result, guess what? You are here. Check this out. We're no longer there anymore. We are here. We are made alive. Now, if you don't, you know, I don't know if you've really, if you've seen or been exposed to one of these things, if I can even, please don't die when I'm up here because I can't even open it. Okay, here we go. Aha. This is an incredible device. You know what it's for? You see, when somebody is cold and their heart stops beating, this device is brought out and it shocks them back to life. Some of you have literally had your lives saved by a device just like this. It is an amazing thing. Amazing thing. It brings us back from death to life, potentially. And it's just a great... What Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 2 is not a mechanical device that shocks our heart back to life. He is talking about something that we're made alive in Jesus, the Savior, that we're literally, spiritually brought back to new life in him, that we are recreated, reanimated, redesigned from the inside out. Ephesians chapter 2, God tells us that we can rediscover who we are and be remade. Remade in Christ. Remember from last week, it was said that Ephesians is a celebration of Christ's saving power. Oh, we celebrate, man, we celebrate the saving power of Jesus. Hundreds of us here today have made that decision, and we celebrate that just like we did earlier today. We celebrated because five more people had been brought from death to life. People who heard the good news of Jesus, people who heard and who believed in Christ and who he is and what he did for them and who pledged allegiance to Jesus, they pledged their life to him and they buried their old life, their dead life in baptism with Jesus and they were raised up and made alive in him. That is reason to celebrate. Same thing Paul did, same thing those early Christians did, the Christians in Ephesus, in the same way many of us have done today. We have been made alive in Christ. Just a couple chapters later, Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes, there is one body and one spirit. See, they had been made alive. Listen, one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. See, these Ephesians, they were Christ followers. They had been called to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Paul is echoing the message of the entire New Testament, especially in places like Romans 6:3, where he wrote, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead," listen to these words, "to the glory of the Father, we too, through his death, live a new life." A new life. We are made alive again in him. It's amazing to me to think about the life that we can have in Jesus. The fact that our old self can be dead and gone once and for all and forever. That is the beauty of Christian baptism. You see, the beauty is that we're not in a dead end any longer. We have been raised up with Christ to an open, limitless, endless, eternal life in him. And there's no longer a death sentence on us. We are no longer condemned or under God's wrath. In Christ, we are free to live. In Christ, we are brought to life in him. We are saved. We can be saved. Say, whoa, how's that happen? Like, what? You got to have to run that by me again, all right? That's exactly what Paul does in verses 8 and 9. Look what he does. He's like, "Can you run that by me again?" He's like, "All right, I'm going to repeat this. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit slower this time, all right? Look at verse 8 and 9. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." He's given this to us, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, this was a big statement for Paul. He was a Jewish Christ follower who was speaking to others who were just like him, who had come out of a religion of the law, of works, of rules and do's and don'ts. But in Christ, they had a new identity, saved by grace through faith. And they were all in the boasting about what they were. No, not anymore. We don't boast in what we do. We boast in what Christ has done for us. And we live in him and through him. We are saved by faith. That word faith means trusting in Christ, accepting the gift of God's only Son, and placing our lives into a new reality, a new identity, into his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, by putting on Christ, by bearing his name, by taking up his cross. You see, when we believe in and when we trust in and when we accept God's gift of Jesus, we are saved. And we are saved through that faith in him to our true identity, to who we really are, who you were made to be. Alive in Christ. So, who are you exactly? Who are we? Well, look at verse 10. Paul gives us the answer. "For we are God's handiwork, his workmanship, a masterpiece." A masterpiece created, built, formed, shaped by, made by God in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Man, this, I mean, I can't even, like I said earlier, this to me is a master. This is nothing compared to the person sitting in your chair today. You are a masterpiece of God. He created you, and he created you for something, to do good works for him that he has created for you to do. This is incredible to think that God just invested in us and made us and created us for a reason, that we were brought from death to life by him for something that we can't even imagine, something more beautiful than even a painting like this. We are God's masterpieces. So who are you? A masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece, brought from death to life for good works. I want you to do something for me this morning, all right? If you have a cell phone or a camera, if you brought a camera that's not a cell phone, all right, go ahead and pull it out. All right, go ahead and get it out. You have permission, you can do that. I know you're thinking, I just came to church today to not get on my phone, but that's okay. All right, you got it out? All right, I want you to flip on the camera, just like that. All right, and I want you to point it right back at yourself. Yeah, you know where this is going. No photo bombing, I don't want any filtering going on, nothing like that. Just take a picture of yourself, all right? Snap a selfie right now, just like you are. Oh my goodness. Take a look at it. That person staring back at you, you think that's gross. No, you're not gross at all. You are a masterpiece. Look, that person staring back at you is uniquely created by God. You are a masterpiece of the Heavenly Father. Look at that picture. Just look at it. Take a look at it. Say, look. In fact, you can point right at it and say, you are a masterpiece. You don't look like it right now, but you are a masterpiece. Go ahead and say it. In fact, say that with me. I am God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. I don't know how you came in today. I don't know what you've been going through, but you are God's masterpiece and He loves you. Whether you got to realize that this morning and absorb that and own that and know that. God loves you and He created you and He's got a reason for you being here. You know, last week, I heard Jake Gibbs over at Go Church Spring Hill. They're actually doing a series in Ephesians as well. You can go online and listen to it. They called their series Masterpiece. And what Jake said was, is that, and I agree with him, you are never more alive than when we are living our own personal, unique purpose as God's masterpiece. You want to know what living is? Rediscover who you are. As the handiwork of God, a masterpiece of the Father, and rediscover the good works that you were created to do by God. Around here, we use an acronym called SHAPE. We just kind of, here in our church, we want to, you know, just kind of help us discover who we are. So we help you identify your unique God-given spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, your experiences, and how God has just kind of put all of that into a work of art and created you as you. It's called SHAPE. In a couple weeks during November, we're going to devote an entire sermon series to helping you discover your SHAPE. And in the meantime, you can go online to our website, ccw.church, and you can go to the Next Steps tab, and you can just kind of take a look at that and start working through that and get a head start if you'd like to discover your SHAPE. Here's why it's important, because you were saved by God to walk through life doing the good works that He prepared in advance for you to do. That's what the whole rest of Ephesians 2 is about. It's about the church. It's about each of us, unique, individually created by God, this masterpiece, working together in all of our diversity, in all of our differences, in all of our experiences as one tapestry in Christ. You see, we were saved from death to life by God, to do good works together. And that's why we're here. That's why this church exists. That's why our leadership is here. We exist to help you discover how God made you to do the good works that He created you to do. A couple chapters later in Ephesians 4, God tells us that our church exists to train and equip the saints to do the work of service, the work that He's given you to do, the good work. So that's what we want to do. So I got to ask you this. What good works has God created for you to do? What do you think He's made you to do? I want you to take some time this week and think through this question, to dream, to write some things down, to talk with maybe a friend, and most of all, to pray and to ask God, what did you make me for? Why am I here? Because He's prepared those things already. He's prepared those good works. We just need to discover them. And it's so exciting to see in the culture here at the church, because some of you are really, really getting this. I mean, you know that God has made you to do something special, so you're doing it on your job. Maybe you're doing what you were made to do. And while you're doing it, you're having church. Some of you are having Bible studies right at work. Some of you are reaching out to your neighbors. You're meeting needs to your immediate family and the people around you. You're launching nonprofits. You're allowing and serving Jesus with your new life in Christ. You're doing the good works that He created you to do, and it's so exciting to see. I want to introduce you to somebody today that is doing just that. He's a friend of mine. His name is Rich Massa. Maybe you know Rich and his wife, Tammy. If you do, they've been members here at CCW for a while. So I'm going to just ask you to welcome Rich Massa to come to the stage and join me up here. Years ago, Rich and I began meeting, having breakfast together, and just talking about, you know, kind of all things Jesus and about being disciples and making disciples, men's ministry, things like that. And along the way, he and Tammy have just really kind of been on quite an adventure. They've led a small group. They lead small group together. They have served in our preschool together. In fact, last week, this is kind of a sidebar, but last week, I mentioned that we are all adopted by God. We're his sons and his daughters. And I said, some of you are heroes in this place to me because you've opened your life and your homes up to and have adopted kids into them. And Rich and Tammy are one of those couples. They've adopted their granddaughter, Mallory, for their own. And if you know Rich and Tammy's story, if you know Mallory's story, I tell you, it is one for the history books. It's just an amazing, amazing story. I'm sure Rich would be glad to share that with you. So, Rich, thanks for being here and sharing with us. You know, what? Little red button, hopefully. Oh, hold the red button. There we go. See, we're all a work in progress. You get it. I don't know. We switch up.
Thank you for this radio timeout.
I didn't do it. Here, try that one out. Woohoo!
Good morning.
Hey, there we go. We got it now. Awesome, man. You know, Rich has quite a story, and I just kind of invited him up here to share because he was brought from death to life. I know his story, his testimony, and what God's done in his life, and now I believe he's doing what God has, you know, really been preparing for him to do all along. So, and I mentioned that, you know, we're God's handiwork. Rich is a real piece of work. All right. I mean, if you know him, you know what I'm talking about. Rich, why don't you just tell us a little about yourself and how you came from death to life in Christ and, you know, kind of go from there.
Hopefully I won't be the first person you're going to have to use the AED on while we're up here. Oh. So
got it right here. From you.
Thank you for the laugh. I appreciate that. So full disclosure, this is not my comfort zone being up here. When I texted Patrick and Joe earlier in the week, my real ploy was to have Chad Pardue up here talking about what Fuller is doing and in life. But Joe was like, no, why don't you come up and share your story? So I was like, okay, right turn, Clyde. Now I have to go from helping Chad be up here to actually me be up here. But I said, my name is Rich Massa, born and raised in the Bronx, New York.
What?
true Floridians, thank you for your state. Yep. We love it. We appreciate it. And, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about this the first service, but the death to life part, sometimes you don't realize that you're dying because you are distracted by houses, new jobs, new place to live. I've been blessed enough, as I said, originally from New York. I lived in Connecticut for a while. Then I went out to Illinois, and now down here in Florida. And what's been really interesting in my journey has been when you're going through stuff, you don't see how God connects the dots, right? You're in it. You're trying to survive it. But there comes a point in your life where you can look back and you can have that aha moment of God was there each step of the way. And with my testimony, I'm a business guy, okay? Give you profit, loss, balance sheet, KPIs, start a company. It's great. I started my first company out of my garage when I was 29, second one in my mid-30s. Now in my late 40s, I've got another one. And all throughout this time, unbeknownst to me, God was working in my heart. There's a good guy in the back that would, and I'm not going to lie on this, would fight is probably an understatement to, he would always tell me, and the person is actually Chad Pardue, if you're wondering who it was, you know, you're doing missions work, buddy. Missions work. I'm like, what? Missions work? Me? I said, no. I'm fine. We can make a donation or connect the dots somehow, but not really going to do the whole mission thing. That's for people well beyond my pay grade to do. But what I was realizing is over this time, God was equipping me and putting people in front of me and around me to do great things and to do things with my certain skill set. And honestly, I've been blessed enough that people have been in my life that are able to speak into me and grow me into, you know, doing what we're doing today, whether it's a nonprofit or a business. And it's just being willing to hear. That makes sense?
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned that you were, you know, just God had been working with you all along. Did you come to Christ as a young man or a old man or younger, older man?
Yeah. Italian, Bronx, New York. You could imagine what I was raised as, right? So Catholic. But you talk about the journey, and I'm going to throw a date out here, which I did first service, but I'll do it again. May 18th. Doesn't really mean anything to a lot of people in this room. Maybe one person over there does. Hi, honey. May 18th was the day that I was baptized. May 18th was the day Tammy was baptized. Now, these are all different years. Guess what day Mallory was born? May 18th. And it wasn't until Tam and I were sitting one day, we just connected the dots and was just like, wow, do you realize the power of that? Of just, you know, at three different times in our life, God has been lining it up. You know, you talk about this walk and faith journey. Walk with Christ. I'm a New Yorker, so to say that I'm stubborn and hard-headed, right, of course not, you know. I was trying to figure out ways to kind of be wheeled in, but you know, if you're walking a dog or sometimes you see the children that have that like little leash to kind of pull them back, well, that's me with my walk with Christ at times. You know, I find that if I'm starting to get off a beaten way, he's there to kind of tug me and bring me back to center. Here's full disclosure on how we run a lot of the organizations I'm with or businesses. It's not me. I am not the sharpest tool in the shed, or as they say, the brightest crayon. Truly, I get up every day. My wife is laughing and say, yes, honey, I know. You're always right. Thank you. I just seriously get up every day and ask, and I know this is going to sound trivial, but where do you want me? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do? And I found throughout my career and organizations that I'm with, the more I do that, the easier it becomes. It's not me. You know, I've got, you know, nice titles, right? College degrees, blah, blah, blah. Chief executive officer is one of my latest titles, but I flip it. I'm not a chief exec. I'm Christ's executive officer in what I do every day to be able to serve. I mean, I know this is so different than the first service, but hey, let's have fun with it, right?
Well, we brought you from death to life, and you know, and kind of, and I know you're, you know, kind of the things that you've done around in our community, and you've really been a catalyst for change in Hernando County, for one reason or another, maybe, but really some positive.
I'm glad you think the catalyst of change. I've usually come up with a lot of, hey guys, listen, I am what they call in the business world a disruptor. I've actually been that way since I was five. I hate using the word I. It's what's in me with really is I don't like status quo. I don't like mediocrity. If we're able to do something to better the areas we live in, Hernando in particular, you know, there's ways to disrupt it, not in the business metrics of profit and revenue and but be able to disrupt it in such a way that people are seeing the byproduct and the residual and the profit from being a Christ-centered individual and then leading a Christ-centered life and then being that light in a community that needs it. And Hernando is one of those. Pasco, Citrus, and we can go down the line.
Yep, I appreciate that. And we're benefiting from that, from those good works that he's made you to do. Right now, I know you're in a special place. God's been using you over the last few months to build something. Yeah, yeah, pretty incredible just to kind of jump off that diving board and hope there's water at the bottom. But here you are, and it's Fuller Center. And what I'd like you to do is just kind of tell us about what God's doing you with you right now and sure. Some of the good works that are going on.
So there. If I sit here and go to the crowd and say, how many of you have heard of Habitat for Humanity? Mm-hmm. Okay, then I'll say to you, and Chad, don't answer this question. How many you've heard of, well, who do you think of right away when you hear of Habitat for Humanity?
Who is it?
Jamie Carter, exactly. What if I mention the name Millard Fuller, does that ring a bell to anybody? Chad, don't answer. Johnny, you can't answer either. Tammy, you can't answer either. Thank you. Millard Fuller was the original founder of Habitat for Humanity. What people lose sight of is Millard was traveling from the north to the south. They ended up in Georgia. What people didn't realize is he was a big real estate investor. Him and his wife were on the outs of their marriage, and they were at a diner. And kind of sitting just like this, Clarence, who was one of the other ones with them, saw that they were having this trouble. And all Clarence did was take a moment and minister and show the love of Christ to two strangers in a diner. And in Macon, Georgia, Habitat was born and created and went, and Fuller was with there up until 2005. Now Habitat is still a great organization. Habitat is still doing its mission. Millard kind of noticed the needle was kind of changing a little bit. Needle was moving more towards branding and corporate models and not about Christ. So in 2005, he went on his own. There's 100 of them in the country. We're the fourth one down here in Florida. And our mission is simple, is to put God's love into action, to show Christ. Building homes, rentals, renovations, those are all metrics or ways of what we do. But what we're about, what we don't shy away from, what we don't will not shy away from, is that we are here to serve Christ and to show his love. It's that simple. It's pretty direct. I'm blessed to be in an organization that I can do that freely every day. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot out there that more people realize with the community. And this is just one of those avenues that if we can provide a affordable home for an individual, single, married, elderly, it gives people an ability to stop surviving life and to living life. And more importantly is throughout the process, they can then learn to show the love of Christ in their home and to those that they deal with. So it becomes this kind of residual effect. So,
yep. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that. And Fuller is just doing some great work as far as, you know, again, filling up with affordable housing, and they do need resources. So, you know, maybe you're in a place where, you know, you're in the construction industry or finance or something, and you'd like to talk to Rich about Fuller Center. Maybe you've got a couple $1,000s laying under your bed or something, and you need a really good place to invest it. I promise this is a really cool place. What are you going to say?
I'm going to say this, because here's the thing with nonprofits at times, and I just want you to understand, yes, money is great. However, it's not just about Fuller, and I digress for 30 seconds, and don't hate me. As far as nonprofits, the one thing I could urge to everybody in this room is find something that matters. If it's us, awesome. If it's not, awesome. Find something and what you're able to do that shows the love of Christ to complete strangers and be able to just never ever want to know that, you know, or be rest assured that you might not get any reward from it, right? But just by doing the right thing, being authentic. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people always think with nonprofits that it's all in God's timing. Let's be perfectly clear. He's blessed this organization with what it wants to do and where it wants to go. But if I could ensure anything, the big revenue is the people in this room. One of our catchphrases is real relationships yield revenue. And people always think I'm talking about money. It's farthest from the truth. The revenue is in the ability for you to go out into the world and share the love of Christ and duplicate that, because that's something I think is just missing. And I think if we focus less on ourselves and more on others doing what we're called to do, all the other stuff just falls into place. Now, if you want to make a donation, www.fullercenter.org, by all happens, but hey. But that's really, it's just, to us personally, It's what we'd hope you guys would be able to do that and duplicate that in your interactions. And it could be something as simple as giving somebody a hug, giving somebody a cup of coffee. It might not be writing a check, but it might be able to invest that one thing in that individual that is able to then duplicate that on and on and on. Checks bounce, folks. People's love for Christ and duplicates that. That goes on forever. So.
Yep. Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Rich. Yeah, hey, we're going to pray, and I've got a video I want you to see, and then we'll just be released to go into the world and to really do the good works that he's created us to do. If you want to visit with Rich, ask any questions, not just about Fuller, but about his life, about Tammy. Sorry, Tammy. Volunteer you two. Or even maybe you're an entrepreneur. Maybe you're trying to figure out, hey, how do I, you know, get from A to B? Rich would be glad to talk to you about that as well. So let's have a word of prayer. You're going to be blessed by this video, and then we'll see you later. Heavenly Father, you're amazing. We love you. Thank you for bringing us from death to life, for making that offer to us. And God, with that life, we just step into an unimaginable, we are your masterpieces, but God, you have something just made just for us to do. And no matter what it is, like Rich said, if it's maybe just blessing somebody with a kind word, a hug, a cup of coffee, God, I pray that we'll do that this week. If it's starting a business, if it's teaching a group, if it's helping out in the preschool, if it's out in the community, God, whatever it is, I pray that you would make that just so obvious to us that we wouldn't miss it. Because you have done that, God. You have brought us from death to life, you and you alone, for good works, the works that you created us to do. Help us to walk in those. Help us to do those things and give all the glory and all the honor and all the praise to you. We are alive because of you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.